Welcome to Season 2 at Disability Bandwidth,
a show where we talk with experts in disability about their journey, life, and inspiration.
I'm Nikki Nolan.
And I'm Sam Prue. Let's get started.
So, do you mind introducing yourself?
I think I told you that I have a stutter, so yeah. So, my name is Mina. I am a brown woman with brown, medium, long hair, and I'm wearing a printed long t-shirt and a dark red lipstick.
Awesome. And what is your role?
Sure. So my day job, I am a software engineer at Microsoft. On my team, my main role is not accessibility focused. I do work on the front end of a proper product. So I make sure to be the accessibility champion on my team. Just try to make sure what we ship is accessible. On the other hand, apart from my day job, I run a support group called Working with Disabilities. We have about 3,000 members now around the world. It's a Facebook group, and then people share their thoughts. They discuss accommodation, and we share job postings, resources. So that is something that I do apart from my day job. So yeah.
Yeah, that's how I found you. I saw you posting on Instagram and LinkedIn and was just super curious about you. So I'm so excited to have you here and be talking with you. You've definitely brought a lot of visibility into accessibility through the way that you write and you post. And thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, for being very accommodating. Thank you.
So one of the things that we're super curious about is what lights a fire in you? What gets you up in the morning?
I think for me, the one thing what just really gets me going is to give back to people. Because a few years back when I was new to college, new to this country too, I did not know a lot about how to navigate my disability, how to ask for help. I did not even know what accommodations meant. Few people in my school, they really helped me, were there for me. So I guess just want to give back to people. Now, I know it sounds very cliche, but I just want to help as much as I can. I know that I can't solve all the world's problems for accessibility and stuff, but I can at least try my best. I can at least help two people, and they would help for more people.
And the thing that is so clear, the more of these podcasts we do, is that we can't do it by ourselves, right? We can only make change by working together. And so what got you to decide that a Facebook group, a support group, this is what I'm going to start and what I'm going to run, and this is some impact that I can make? What led you to that and to doing that?
Yeah. So unlike Facebook, I was a part of a lot of groups, tech groups, women in technology groups, and then many groups for software engineering. Did not find anything particular for or disabled professionals, especially those who are trying to look for work and then at the same time trying to navigate accommodations at work. So just started as a very small group. I guess it was 2 or 3 years back. I don't remember the exact year, but just like 2 or 3 years ago, we just like had 50, 60 people now at that time. And then now we have 3,400 people. And like, it's a very, very active group. One of the things that I try to do is to share opportunity on the group. So I'm a part like so many mailing lists, LinkedIn. So whatever opportunity that I find there, I'll make sure to copy paste in the group. So that way people know that something exists for them to apply. So they have some visibility.
So did you, I mean, you started it and it was, you know, 50, 60 people. Did you do a lot of promotion and awareness raising, or did it just sort of grow organically and by word of mouth?
Yeah, I think it's the latter. Yeah, did not do, I guess the most promotion that I did was to just post it on like LinkedIn, maybe. That was the most promotion that I did. So yeah, I think over the last 2 years, it just like did do organically. Every day we get like about 5 to 6 more or the request to join the group. And yeah, it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it's really speaks to how much of a need there is, right? For not just for community of professionals, but for cross collaboration and working together, right? It's interesting to me that you sort of called it, you know, working with disability as opposed to like focusing in on one particular disability, right? Because if you look on Facebook, for example, there's like groups just for blind people and groups just for people with autism, right? And it's so like narrow and focused maybe in ways that are sometimes not great.
Very true. Yeah.
Yeah. So what experience shaped your perspective on disability?
Sure. So I think I was 5 years old when I got diagnosed with a stutter and disability. It just kept on increasing as I became like older. So when I like was a kid, other kids would like make fun of me. I don't blame them. Kids don't really understand things. So yeah, so I guess from my childhood, I just like felt very isolated. I didn't have a lot of friends also, and I didn't know any other person who stuttered, so did not have a community of like support. So I guess when I went to college, I like slowly started to discover these things. I found people who went through the same challenges as me. So yeah, I think my experiences have just made me understand community of support is very important. And like, that's what I've been trying to do through my work, to create more communities to support each other.
You know, it's interesting that we've been talking a lot about community because it's so important. And I mean, that isolation that I think we maybe all feel in different ways and for different reasons growing up as kids, right? As who have disabilities. And so how did you discover your community and find those people? I mean, it's all you've been on quite a journey, right? Going to a new country and sort of finding your footing and jobs and work and all that stuff. How did you seek out community? How did you sort of get out of that isolation and find the help and the support that you needed? And was it already there, or was it something that you sort of had to build for yourself?
Yeah. So I moved to the States in 2014 to start my undergraduate degree here. So I first came here, I was so surprised to see that my school had our disability accommodations office, where they told me that if you don't want to do your speaking classes, you can substitute that, say, writing class. So I guess just having that knowledge, I'm just like having that freedom to like choose that and just like not force myself to speak. I don't want to. Just like having that choice was like so great. The same accommodations office, they gave me a pamphlet from an organization called Access Computing. So that's an organization who supports students with disabilities in science. So I joined that organization and I was part of this big mailing list of like thousands of other students with disabilities who were studying computer science. And that same organization, that same year, they sponsored me to go to CSUN. So when I went to the CSUN accessibility conference, I met so many more disabled people there. And I just felt that I like had finally fit in somewhere. Another opportunity which had a big impact on me is being chosen to Google Lime Scholar in 2018. So that's a scholarship from Google for students with our disabilities who are studying computer science. So one of the benefits of the scholarship was that all the recipients, they got to go to the main Google office for a small retreat. So we went there, met 10 more students who are disabled and who were studying computer science. So actually two of those people, they are now my best friends. So just like finding such opportunities, joining that mailing list was a great thing for me, for sure.
Yeah, we'll have to link to that mailing list.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting what you mentioned about accommodations and having the choice to have accommodations, right? That's also so important, because sometimes people say, oh, well, it's really different to say to someone, you can choose not to take a speaking class if you don't want to, as opposed to, oh, you can't take a speaking class, right? And yeah. And that's so important. And I mean, here you are on a podcast, you know, choosing to do that. So, you know, thanks so much for doing it. But another thing that I'm curious about, you spoke about how you sort of weren't familiar with the idea of accommodations, and that really wasn't a thing for you before you came to the States. And so I'm curious how along the way your journey has changed the way that you think about disability, right? Did you find that maybe now it's something feel is a part of your identity? Do you feel like you accept it more now, or is it the same? Or like how has your journey through different cultures changed the way that you think about disability?
So when I first like came into the US, I had a very, I guess, medical model of disability in my head. Think of from my childhood, I must have gone to some 20 speech therapist or how to see if my speech can be cured. So my mindset of finding ways to cure my stutter, I would like Google things saying that, like, how do I cure my stutter? And I still remember I like saw this advertisement where some guy, he like claimed to like cure a stutter in just 10 days or something. And I like somehow managed to convince my parents to pay for that. And oh my God, like it was like such a big scam. So yeah, so thankfully I'm no longer that way. I don't fall for such things anymore. I still do speech therapy. So 10 years back, for me, the goal of speech therapy was to just cure my stutter. So, but right now, I have more realistic goal. One of my main goals is just self-acceptance. How do I be more acceptive? Acceptive is not a word. I'm sorry. Do I say this? I guess, how do I be more accepting of my stutter? Because sometimes I still have some moments where I just like think to myself that like, well, why can't I just speak fluently for just 2 minutes of my life? Like, yeah. And then another one of my goals to my speech therapist is that how can I disclose my stutter on, say, dating apps. So, like, it's just, like, more short-term, realistic goal than, like, trying to just cure my stutter, like, all at once. Because, like, just, like, having such short goals, they tend to be less frustrating and they work more. So, yeah, so I like still do speech therapy. The way I do it, it's a lot more fulfilling than like what I used to do before.
Yeah. And it sounds like maybe your goals have changed also to be for you instead of for other people, right? Sometimes as people with disabilities, we feel this pressure to change, not necessarily for ourselves because we want to be, but like we want to be faster for other people, or we want to be less of a burden on other people, or we want, or this, that, and the other, right? And it sounds like your goals now are really to be the person that you want to be as opposed to like changing for someone else.
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
Sam is so good at picking up on themes.
No. I did observe that. Yeah.
It's like therapy with Sam.
I don't know what you're saying. That's so true.
Oh no, I would not be a good therapist. Before we continue this conversation, it's time to pause for just a minute for a word from our sponsor.
Hello, my name is Chris Smart. I'm a full-time screen reader user and a member of Fable's community of accessibility testers. If you're listening to this podcast, you already know just how important it is to integrate the voices of people with disabilities into every aspect of your product development journey. Fable can help you do this, from improving your team's accessibility training with Fable Upskill to working directly with assistive technology users with Fable Engage. We can help you take the next step in building amazing websites and apps that are accessible and easy to use for everyone. To learn more, check out what we do at makeitfable.com and follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
And we're back. What are some things along your path that you've discovered that surprised you?
I think like one of the things surprised by is that most people, they are generally kind and patient. So in the past, like a lot of times, just not talk to people because I felt that like I would be taking so much time of them because they have to be patient to listen to me, be wasting their time. So yeah, and then in the recent few years, so I started to like become more self-confident, just like I started to just talk more to people. I have observed that they are patient. most of them, like, don't care if you take some time to speak. And I think since my childhood, I had, like, just, like, sort of internalized and that, like, fear of saying that I take too much of people's time. Yeah. And then in the recent few, I have observed that that's, like, not the case at all. My best friend, he just told me the other day that, like, so we have been, like, 5 years now. And she told me that, like, most of the times when I speak to her, she doesn't even notice that I have a stutter. So I guess people get, like, used to it, really. And then at the same time, there are good people in this world who are, like, patient, and they will let you finish your sentence, you know?
Yeah, that must be a struggle sometimes, right? Some people just want to move too fast at the expense of thing. And there are folks, and it is, people can get used to things really, really quickly in a way that I don't think we think about, right? Even, I mean, I've had people tell me, oh, I, like, forgot you were blind. And even though I consider it, like, this core part of myself, right?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that people will just forget at times.
It's interesting. Something is coming to my mind, sort of like one thing that happens specifically with, like, a non-visible disability, like I have, people say, oh, you don't seem like you have a disability. And so I'm curious with both the statements that you both just made, where someone says, like, oh, I don't notice the stutter anymore. Or, like, for you, Sam, like, oh, I forgot that you're blind. Like, does that evoke the same sort of, like, internal reaction of, like, I don't know. For me, it's like when people are, well, you don't seem autistic. For me, I'm like, it's not the compliment that people think it is for me. And I'm just curious about, like, when people say that to you all, what is evoked there?
I think the first thought that, like, tries to come in my mind is that they are lying. It's like, I mean, you like have to notice the stutter. I know some people, they have a very mild stutter, but, like, mine's, like, not a mild stutter. So you, like, have to notice that. So I guess the first thought that comes to my mind that they are just trying to make me feel better. Like, yeah, and I don't want them to do that. It just feels, like, weird. So, like, last week I went, like, on a date, and the guy told me that you spoke fluently. I did not notice any stutter. And I was just like, how is that even possible?
You're so non-observant, apparently.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem going forward. Good luck getting him to notice when you change your hairstyle right now.
I guess people are just, like, trying to make me feel good. And then, like, and I do, like, appreciate that. And then, like, at the same time, it just feels, like, fake to me. Because, yeah.
I hear you about that, especially. I mean, sometimes in my experience, I don't know, be in a place where I need help with something, and sometimes people will, like, be so willing to help even at their own inconvenience. And it's like, if people would just be upfront that, like, this is inconvenient or this is bothering you, like, we can find a better way to do this, right? Like, you know, I'm sure if it was like, if someone was like really, you know, in some super hurry to get some information from you for some reason, you'd probably rather they were up front and you could just send them a text, right? Like, yeah. So I definitely feel that. But I and then, of course, there's the I think sometimes for me, it feels like when someone says they forgot I was blind, it's almost like an excuse. What they really meant is I forgot to take your needs into account. Right. Yeah. it's just another way that they're saying it. I don't mm-hmm. kind of an excuse. I don't know. But sometimes it really is just a thing. Sometimes people do forget in my, like if it's just you, the three of us sitting having a conversation. I mean, it's only coming up because this is what we're talking about, right? I could see you just like, I don't know, sending me a picture without alt text just in the moment. So I don't know, but it also makes me think about a discussion that we've been having a lot on this season of the podcast as we do these interviews, which is really around needs and helping and understanding what your own needs are and helping other people understand them, right? Because it seems like one thing that happens with all invisible disabilities, whether it's like autism or a stutter or depression, or there's all the people who think that what you really need is their personal advice on like how to be better. that's not it. And so I just wonder, like, how do you think about your needs and sort of disclosing and making sure that you get what you need? And is that something that you're comfortable in, or do you still feel like you're on that journey of like figuring out what works for you and what doesn't and what you need and all those things?
I think I'm a lot better in like asking for what I need to be more comfortable. So for example, at my work, I have an accommodation to like type instead of speaking. So if we like have a meeting going on, I'll make sure if I like want to say something, I'll make sure to put it in the chat box. And then somebody would like make sure to read it for me a few times. So if I just have to speak like one or two sentences, I will just like speak it. But then if it's like something longer, then I will type it. But like on a few days, I'm like just having a bad day and I can't say the first two sentences either. So at that time, sometimes I feel embarrassed to just type like just small thing in the chat, because I just feel people may think I'm like being too dependent. It's just once. Why can't you just say it? So these are like some of the thoughts that I still struggle with. And my coworkers, they are like really nice people. They like always support me, like what I need. But I think it's more of like my feeling, these thoughts, which like say my needs being a burden to other people. Am I sort of being a burden for them? I have like felt the same for my friends on my date and stuff. Sometimes I guess don't ask for I want, I feel I'll be judged. One of my friends, she loves to FaceTime, but like I just don't like FaceTiming and talking. Texting is my like the best way to like talk to me and stuff. But then at the same time, I don't want her to think that like I'm not being a good friend to her, because like she's the kind of a person who likes to speak like on phone. So yeah, I guess sometimes it gets hard and I just don't do what I need to do to feel more comfortable. Yeah, and then compared to the last few years, I'm being better for sure.
I know our time's sort of drawing to a close, but I'm super curious and interested as we talk about needs and sort of the conversation that we're having. This is just a question that comes out of, you know, my not having lived experience with with having a stutter. And I'm very curious in the experience that you have. Is it when you prefer to type or prefer to text, is it because it's easier for you or because you think it will be easier for the other person? And no judgment there. I'm just really curious about, because like I will sometimes do this thing where I will do something one way because I think it's easier for everyone else as opposed to it because it's easier for me. And it's something that I think a lot about and struggle with sometimes, is like the balance between meeting everybody else's needs and meeting your own needs.
Yeah. It's a combination of like both for me. It's like better for me. And then at the same time, I feel that like saves people's time too. Feel like changes of situation too. So at like work, we do like have strict timelines. We like have strict meeting times. So, and like those kind of like critical time situation, I just like sort of feel that like if I type, it'll just be easier for everybody else. But then a few change that to just a conversation between me and my friend, there's like no time limit there. It's like not serious business stuff going on. Like, so that time, it's just more easier for me because speaking can be like tiring for me sometimes. So my friend can just chat after a super tiring day. And yeah, chatting is the way to go.
Thank you so much for talking with us for this long.
For now, of course, yeah.
Come out of your comfort zone to do this. And we appreciate
it. This is a safe space for me. So I'm not like feeling stressed now. So yeah.
That's good. And my screen reader just decided to crash. So I'm going to pass it over to you, Nikki, while I start relaunching programs here for just a minute.
No problem.
Speaking of needs and challenges.
Yeah.
What are some small ways people can start towards this path of inclusion, access, and furthering the rights of people with disabilities?
Yeah. Some of the small ways how to start to read about the experiences of people with disabilities through firsthand account. There are like so many books there which are so easy to understand, and they just tell you more about our disability in general. Another great point is to like just follow disability advocates on like social media. I have learned so much of Instagram. TikTok has such a big, vibrant community of disabled people. Yeah, or just like read more, or like follow more people with disabilities.
Yeah. And as we come to a close, if people want to further this conversation, if they want to follow you, if they want to see what you're up to, where can people find you? And is there anything you want to promote?
Yeah. Can I just paste it in the chat box real quick?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We always include links, by the way, in the show notes. So we don't want folks listening to the podcast as they're driving to work, you know, desperately trying to write things down anyway.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. So this is my Instagram page. It is our Disabilities in Tech. And I mentioned about my Facebook group. Make sure to drop a link of that to the chat box just real quick.
Yeah, and we'll post that in the show notes. So the Facebook group, I'm just going to click on it so I can get the name of it. Working with Disabilities. Yeah, this is so awesome. And thank you so much for being here and talking with us and sharing about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I was sort of like nervous. I like had such a great time. I just like felt so natural. So thank you for being so inclusive. Really appreciate it a lot.
Thanks for taking the chance, despite the nervousness, and agreeing to do it, because I know from personal experience that can sometimes be pretty difficult as well. Thanks for listening to Disability Bandwidth. If you like this episode of Disability Bandwidth, please subscribe and share it with friends and family. Today's episode was hosted by Sam Prue and Nikki Nolan. Edited and produced by Nikki Nolan. Transcripts are written by Emma Klauber. Theme music is created by F.A. Ackman. Special thanks to everyone at Fable who, without their support, this show would not be possible. You can find out more about Disability Bandwidth on Twitter and Instagram @DisabilityBandwidth or on our website at disabilitybandwidth.com.